There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, LaShelle Weavy, and today we get a chance to talk to Adrienne Carrington. You guys, she is amazing, and she is an empowerment coach, life coach. I'm going to let her describe what exactly all that means and how she shows up in the world and helps people herself, but you guys are going to be inspired, and you're going to leave this conversation with hope and practical tools to get from where you are to where you want to be. Adrienne, thank you so much for being here. I'm so, so happy to have this conversation.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and talk to your audience, talk to whoever is listening and ready to listen, right? Whoever shows up.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about who you serve and how you show up in the world today.
Yeah, so I serve women. It's been an interesting journey, right? Been working in mental health for like 15 years, started a coaching practice about 8 years ago, and then birthed twin humans 5 years ago. And so the progression, right? Career, motherhood, entrepreneurship, the whole thing. So my practice has morphed a bit. It used to be structured more around recovery coaching, working with women struggling with mental health issues, eating disorders, addiction. And then as I have flowed post-divorce, motherhood, single parenting, right? It's really been working with women who are in a new chapter, right? Like coming to a new identity with themselves, you know, outside of their kids, outside of their marriage. Like, how are we figuring out who we are in this world. So that being my own personal work and then the work that I'm doing when I coach people.
And I find that that happens with so many of us, that we show up in the world ready to serve because of experiences that we personally have gone through. And I personally can relate to that in morphing who I want to serve and how I want to serve them based on what is presented in my own life and how I've been able to navigate that. And it's like, goodness, I don't want all of the lessons that I've taken from this season to be wasted. I want to be able to use them to help other people navigate this crazy life and some of the things that I've had to go through, hopefully navigate around. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about your backstory, Adrienne. Tell us a little bit about who you have, you know, had to become and how throughout this journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely to everything you said, right? And I think, right, as we walk through this like healing journey, just our own life journey, right? It really does shift and change our perspective so much. And then it changes who we serve and, you know, seeing maybe our past selves in clients like 10, 15 years ago versus like how we show up now. I think it really just honors where we all are. So, I mean, I was one who grew up in kind of like a chaotic household, child of an alcoholic, right? Just kind of that controlled, but very like, call it generational trauma environment, that sort of thing. So I'd say I'm the cycle breaker, I think, in my family, right? And then being a queer woman, like just kind of having that not seen, honored, right? And I think culturally we're getting a lot better. And yet, right, it's a journey. And so that self-acceptance piece, right? And throughout my life, really just becoming stronger at it, right? And again, not maybe necessarily being accepted by your family of origin, not being like, you know, bumping up against it culturally, right? But recognizing like our own privileges. And then again, like working in the mental health field, right? And just seeing, you know, even the emotion conversations about how we feel, what we need, and as women, right, the nurturing and just the general mentorship and just what we really truly need in this world, and then walking through kind of the cycles of relationships, right, and things that come along with that. And then again, just that journey, I think, to self-love or self-fulfillment and just recognizing like we don't have to take care of everybody, or we don't have to do certain things, or we can say no, right? Like, so truly working on those boundaries. Yeah. And that sort of thing. So it's really interesting. I feel like I wake up now going, this is not where I thought my life was going to be.
Yeah.
And yet I can't really imagine it any differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have two beautiful children and here we are. I mean,
so were there any pivotal moments in your life? I know that you've mentioned a couple of the big milestone moments in your life of giving birth to twins and having a divorce and, you know, being an entrepreneur. Sometimes as an entrepreneur, you kind of feel like we have a third eye because not everybody understands what it's like to kind of, you know, have our brain working the way that it does. So of those experiences that you've mentioned, were any of them kind of huge pivotal moments for you? And what did you learn from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of them, right? Like the portal openers. I mean, I think motherhood was certainly a portal opener. And I think I had tried, right? I think I tried for a year and a half to have children and then it finally happened. And so having that, I think, offers a sense of gratitude. And then obviously I did not expect my marriage to implode post-children, right? So just the life acceptance and portal opening of my daughters and seeing them and seeing how I want them treated in the world and how I want them to grow up with a sense of confidence and respect for themselves and just the way in which I want to mother, I think huge shifting point, right? And the way in which we mother ourselves, right? And take care of ourselves along the way. So I think even deepening that self-care, self-love, like I, 20 something years ago, I'd have been like, self-love, you're like, right? You're full of it.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. And so that being a really pivotal moment of like, no, we are going to do this life and go on this ride. And then, like you said, with entrepreneurship, right? I think it morphs, right? But allowing ourselves, because I think creativity mm-hmm. as a whole, or allowing for that vulnerability, right? I think for so many of us that is stifled or just not accepted or just, it's interesting. We all love art, right? But the process of making art or just writing, that aspect of it, and the way we have to show up in entrepreneurship to kind of sell our work or sell ourselves and have that be, taken in the world, however we want it to be, right? So that's a huge like portal opener too, to be like, wow, I didn't realize like how vulnerable being an entrepreneur was going to be, particularly life coach, particularly like a women serving women, right? And what that looks like.
And I think that you touched on something that really ties all of those pieces together. And for me, it's modeling for our kids, right? Mm-hmm. I think that oftentimes if we're in a situation, it doesn't matter if it's a marriage that's not serving anyone, if it's a job that's not serving anyone, if it's a living situation that's not serving anyone, oftentimes I think that we forget that we're modeling what is acceptable to put up with or what is a good life or not a good life to the little ones who are watching, whether we realize it or not. And so that when we think that we're doing them good by sticking it out, by being tougher, by whatever, but really what we're modeling for is we're not worth a better situation.
Yes.
And, you know, I do this exercise with my clients sometimes, and it's literally looking back and thinking about, what do we want for our kids, right? Like, what kind of life do we want our daughters to have? Do we want them to feel loved and worthy and confident? Do we want them to feel like they deserve certain things? And then to remind ourselves that our mothers probably had the same dreams for us. And we forget that. And I think that just stepping into recognizing that we should want as good, if not better, for ourselves than we do for our daughters, because that's mm-hmm. how we model for them, by living it instead of telling them, don't you think?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. And actions, right? Actions speak louder than words. Like, what am I telling them by showing them, right? Like, I can tell them and, you know, given life experience, right? It's like people can say one thing and then they do another, but you learn from what they're doing. Right. Not from what they're saying, right? Yes. And so if they don't match up and they don't align, I mean, forget it. My kids would be like, no, like that's not true.
Through that, right? But I think too, like, you know, we fail to, you know, to really, really acknowledge like the power of modeling for our kids. And it might be that you're in a toxic marriage and you're showing your daughter what's acceptable to be treated like. Mm-hmm. And what's acceptable to put up with. And if you wouldn't want that life for her, then do you really want to model that for her? But we can even think about it like my husband and I thankfully have a great marriage, but we're like any couple who have to have, you know, crucial conversations. And choosing to have the wisdom to model some of these conversations in front of the kids so they can see that mom and dad cannot agree on some things, but we're willing to talk it out in a respectful way and show you guys that it's possible. And I think that it's really interesting because I grew up in a house where, God love her, but my mom, you know, is full of energy and emotion. And I got to see it expressed on a grand scale, you know, a lot. And so when I got married, my husband, he's like, Michelle, like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Right. But yet, like, it's funny because, and I love his parents, but they didn't ever argue in front of their kids. Right. And so he grew up then not knowing how to have those conversations. And so it was not a thing in his house. And it was like this big exaggerated performance at mine.
Yeah.
And somehow the two of us had to navigate that together. So I think that it's important for us to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we're not perfect, but we still have little eyes on us. And how do we choose to show up? Yeah, and how do we choose to model the life that we want for them in front of them?
Right. Right. And like choosing, and I always say to people, you know, when they're like, how are you doing this or whatever? I'm like, you have to choose your hard, right? And you have to choose, like, is this ideal? No. Right. Like, is this, you know, but I don't know that there is an ideal, but there's like a way in which we can choose, and it's how do we choose to show up and navigate the lives that we have. And then also too, to take the pressure off, right? Because there's always so much pressure of like a failed marriage or, you know, and really evaluating like, well, what does my value or what is my like failure look like? Because that would have been showing my daughters that they don't deserve to be treated properly or anything like that, right? So that to me would have been worse, right? And I know everyone's situation's different. Everybody is kind of dealing with what they're dealing with, you know, and then I think there's a level of like, how am I showing my daughters that they have choice, right? And to hold their power, and their choice might not be ideal, right? And yet it's like, how are you choosing kind of what's best for you and what's best for your children? And again, some circumstances, it's like, neither are ideal. And yet, which way are you going to go?
Right, yeah. Right. And you're right. So we always have a choice. And I think that that's one of the things that I get so fired up and talking about is how much we can get our power back by just recognizing that we have a choice. And that in most situations, we don't have anyone holding a gun to our head. Right. We're not victims to things. We're choosing to keep ourselves in a space by not letting things go or by choosing the same patterns over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so we get a chance to choose whatever it is in the next moment. And that brings a ton of power back and allows us to not allow ourselves to remain victims to what is happening to us, but can choose to use life for us and decide how we want to navigate that.
Right. And to bring that awareness, because I think so much is unconscious, right? So much is within our bodies and trauma is held there and life experience, right? But to actually recognize like where you are in your life, what power and authority you do have that maybe you didn't growing up, right? And then recognizing like where you can put that energy, where you can put your time, and just again, choosing consciously, like, here's how I want to engage in this situation, or here's how I want to show up with my husband in this argument, or here's what I want to do, right? And that every situation is different, because I think again, our brains get rewired, right, to be in survival mode or just be in a trauma state, and like that's why sometimes it becomes so cyclical. And to realize like, no, actually I can take a step in this direction, or, you know, become unstuck and do something differently.
Right. And so what are some of the things, Adrienne, that you find your clients are coming to you right now that you just, it just really is tugging on your heart that our audience might be able to relate to? And then I would love to hear kind of how you are helping navigate them out of their situations.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? I think a lot of what is showing up, right, is new motherhood journeys, right? How are you navigating the postpartum period when you don't have help, right? When there's no, you know, there's no guide, I think, right? So talking about like unmothered mothers, right? Who don't, they're like, how am I doing this? Right. And so really encouraging like the community aspect, women supporting women, like what we've all learned, right? I only have 5 years experience as a mom, but how is that applicable, right, to new moms? And then also again, the power of choice of getting out of situations, right? Like that aren't ideal, that you don't have to be stuck in. Is there a choice to, you know, decide your relationship status or decide what is best for your children, right? And do it differently. And then there's also, it's interesting, right? Working with older women around, again, just some of the generational piece of thinking you have to do something, right? Or then being resentful, right? Again, being in that victim space of like,
right,
why aren't they acting this way? Or again, that sense of control where really you don't have any, right? And so navigating, it's been interesting, adult children relationships, right? And just again, women coming into their 60s being like, okay, I'm retiring, right? What is this? I've served everybody my whole life. And so how am I taking a breath or time for me, which feels, I think, just so vulnerable for women, right? It's like, my children are grown, I'm empty nesting, or I want a career change. I think COVID opened up a lot of early retirement, career change, different paths, right? They're like, I'm out of the school system, I'm done teaching, I'm done nursing, right? There's been a lot of, a lot of that. I work with a lot of frontline workers. And so I'll like really looking at, how am I taking care of myself? How am I showing up in this world? And it leaves people, I think, really shaky because they're not used to looking at themselves in that, that way and deciding, what do I want?
Right. And it's almost like this, you know, it's an intentional decision to serve, but in a different way, right? Because I think that oftentimes we can get through life on autopilot, thinking that we're serving the people closest to us. But if we would take a moment and step back and figure out how we can serve ourselves, we're actually going to be able to serve at a higher level with a wider reach than what we could before. And so if we can allow ourselves to do that as we go, we will have hopefully less burnout in the middle of the journey, but also when we get to that point where we're like, okay, ready to reevaluate things, we know still who we are because we've been nurturing that all along. Yeah. And I think to tie it into the conversation that we've already had, we're also modeling that for our kids.
Exactly. Yeah. And that they can, right? I think there's so much enmeshment in the world, right? And that they can. I want my daughters deeply to have their own identities. I mean, I see how vibrant they are at five, like, how do we keep this? How do we keep this confidence? How do we keep this like emotional availability, right? Because they're just balls of love, right? And then so teaching them, right, to give and receive and the reciprocity of life and relationships and, you know, being raised by a village of people. And so, but being able to receive, right? That's a lesson I've had to learn in life, right? So to give to myself so that I can also receive and set, and again, like you said, the serving from a different place, right? So like serving from a full well versus like an empty well, which leaves you so resentful. It leaves you in pain. It leaves you wounded.
100%. You know what? That's one of the things on my journey that I've really had to acknowledge is that I recognized that I had such a hard time receiving. And I would be given these amazing opportunities by people. And I'm like, oh no. I don't. And like for the longest time, I'm like, is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I grew up in the Midwest? And it's just like, you just didn't like accept things. But it's like, God has asked me to step up and receive all of these abundant blessings. And there was one day where I was praying and he literally showed me this vision of myself standing here with my arms open wide. And it's like, Lachelle, look around you. Like there's all of this abundance that's ready here waiting for you. You just have to receive it. It's here. It's always been here. And I think that sometimes we fail to consider what a beautiful gift that is for him to try to give it to us, but how much we can use that gift to share love and all the things that we have to the people around us, don't you think?
Totally.
And it's like when I have been able to open myself to receiving his love, that's when it overflows from me. I'm not giving out of service to try to make myself feel whole, but I'm literally allowing the overflow of the love that's coming from me because I'm willing to receive it to go out into the world and bless other
people. Exactly. Well, and and like, you know, just being open to that. And again, the creativity process, right? Like opening ourselves up to that guidance, opening ourselves up to be vessels, like through our work, I'm a writer, right? Like writing, just kind of motherhood, how we're showing up in the world. And then I think also with that comes being able to let go in a way that's like, okay, certain things are falling away, certain things are disappearing, not to be so grasping, right, or panicked about it. I think it allows an ease, right, when we know we're supported in that capacity, that when, you know, we're little tight balls of
Yeah. So what do you tell somebody who's really, because I believe that wholeheartedly, that if my hands are clenching the thing that I don't want to let go of so tightly, I don't allow myself to have an arm or a palm, you know, open and arms out ready to receive the next thing that's supposed to be given to me. Yeah. So I'm hanging on so tight that I can't receive. What is it that you tell people who are struggling with that part of their lives?
Yeah, so it's really a group of friends. I call it trust school, and I have another friend. We call it surrender school, right? And it's how, and so it's really establishing, I think, going back to that self trust of like, how am I trusting myself to do this, and how am I trusting, you know, certain individuals in my life, right? And again, there's the receiving, right? I'm a really great giver, and right, it's been a practice to receive, and it's also a practice in trust, I think, to you know, but call it earth school, right? To be here, to be learning. And again, to not expect the same result every time, right? Like we've had experiences before. So that creates our feelings of like, oh no, this might happen or this, right? But to trust like, okay, this one might be different. And not necessarily in like a naive way, but in a way that you're like, this open, isn't the same experience.
Possibility that
exactly. It could be different. And again, knowing and trusting yourself to say, I'll know if there's red flags. I'll know now. I'll use my wisdom of learned experience and take that forward, you know, to trust myself, to trust the process, and trust that if it's not for me, it's not going to be for me, you know, and just see, right, how it unfolds. But I think the trust part being, you know, because again, I think there's so much fear, right, and rightly so. But to not let that be debilitating, right? So really doing exercises around like, how are you learning to trust yourself again? How are you writing letters to each chapter of your life, right? Like your past selves, and kind of bringing it all with you, not in like a heavy baggage way, but in like a wise, free floating way, you know, to just move forward. Because I think without that trust piece, right, it leaves you just feeling a bit unnerved.
Yeah. And I think one of the ways that I've established trust within myself is to do the things that I said that I was going to do to myself. Because when I fail to execute the things that I had intended to do, I'm basically telling myself consciously and subconsciously that I am not trustworthy because I don't do what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so do you find that that is something that you experience with the people that you help as well?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And learning boundaries, right, is like the first, you know, it makes people so nervous. They're like, well, what if I say no? Or they're gonna, you know, and again, that's a trauma response, right? There's gonna be backlash, they're gonna be mad, they're gonna be upset, right? And learning also that that's okay. That's evidence that gives us an idea of how people are gonna respect or not respect our boundaries. And so it goes in work environments, it goes in relationships, right? And we wouldn't not show up and do something for our kids, right? So it's like, so why am I not showing up or saying no, or saying yes, or doing what I need to do for myself, right? When, you know, most of the women I work with, right, they're not doing that. They're doing everything for everybody else, right? So how are you showing up for yourself with even more capacity for that than you are for others?
And you mentioned trauma response a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit about what that means for the people who are unfamiliar with that?
Yeah, so just call it survival mode, right? Call it your response. And it typically stems, right, from your childhood. Are you in kind of like a hypervigilant or fight, flight, freeze, fawn response, i.e. like the people pleasing comes in, or again, walking on eggshells, you know, maybe there's been, you know, just general familial reactions, you know, so you've learned to, you know, stay quiet, not voice how you feel, kind of be somewhat of a chameleon and get along with everybody, right? To not make waves, or, you know, just in certain circumstances, kind of noting, do I change? Does this environment elicit a response from me? And I act differently with this group of friends versus this group of friends versus my significant other. And sometimes we don't know, right? We don't even realize that we're accommodating things or not setting a boundary. And it typically shows up, I would think, in intimate relationships, right? So those are the closest to us. Or am I not expressing what I need? I think it's very hard for women to identify, like, this is what I need, right? And can I give it to myself, or is it something I need externally? Mm-hmm. So it's really, I do a lot of inventory work with clients too of like, how are you showing up in all the circumstances of your life, or how do you feel in a lot of things? Like, does your work environment you know, are you sweaty and clammy and stressed all the time? Or is it one of ease? Or, and the same with your home, right? Is your home environment one where you can let your hair down, where you feel like you can broach any topic with your partner, or no, like you're saying with your husband, right? You're going to work it out. So that becomes the norm versus like, is it a rageful response? Is it silent treatment? Is it eliciting kind of any of these reactions, right?
And how do you know the difference between, oh, well, that's just like my personality type and that is my trauma response? Is there a difference in that? Or is that, you know, does that help develop our personality? I'm just curious on what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, I think our environments shape, I think it's interesting to discover or rediscover, is that my personality? Is that authentically who I am? Or is that how I learn to cope with my environment, right? So you do a lot of that excavating work of like, you've always responded this way, right? And kind of like uprooting, like, where did that come from? Have you always been quiet, or were you afraid to speak, or were you afraid to say something, or were you told, right? Like, I think most of us, right? We're too sensitive, we're too loud, we're too that, we're too much, right? And then what does that make you do? You know, so I always think whenever there's a response, say of anxiety or you feel unnerved, right, there's something else there versus is it an ease thing or, right, more a more personality, like a quirk or a characteristic versus like a way you act in certain circumstances? Because I think it's a personality trait, right, if it's across the board, if that's just who you are across the board versus is that how you're responding, you know, with some certain friends because it makes you feel uncomfortable or you feel like you have
something
to like
something is triggering
up.
You. Yeah. In some way. Yeah. That's
versus Go ahead. Versus, oh no, I was gonna say versus like friends you feel completely content with and you can say anything and you're not worried about criticism or judgment or like I think it when you do a lot of the somatic work or like embodiment work of how does my body respond? Because again, I think sometimes we adapt and we're so used to our bodies acting a certain way. And then you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, my body doesn't act like that when I'm not around X, Y, or Z people or my family or, right? So I think it's exploration of, is this who I am or is this just how I've learned that I need to respond? Yes.
And I'm assuming that when you are behaving in a way that you are accommodating or it's a trauma response, that it feels restricted versus when you're alone with your, you know, bestie or your husband where you feel safe that you're, it's expansive. It's just, it's like this sense of knowing because it's who I am at the core, not just who I've had to become in order to survive.
Yeah. And again, it's different environments, right? Or it's different. I always, it's always interesting, right? When you go back and how do you act in your family of origin versus is that how you act with your friends or colleagues? Or is that how you act? And we're all bonkers with our siblings or something, right? But like, you know, what role did you have to play? What, and do you have to play that role now?
Right. Oh my gosh. That's so insightful. And I just literally am just enjoying this conversation so much. Adrienne, is there anything that we haven't had a chance to dive into since, you know, we're getting close to wrapping up here?
Yeah. I mean, no, I think, I mean, I love your work, right? I love like getting unstuck. I think that's what's so huge, right? That is what breaks cycles is like just doing, and it's little things, right? Like doing something differently. And it doesn't have to be, I think, you know, we see stuff on the internet or we see these big, like, you know, we're expecting quantum leaps or something like that. But it's just kind of, if you're in a rut or feeling stuck, right, it's what are you kind of doing each day, just little by little to shift, right? Breaking your own routine, breaking your own habits, you know, just again, what do you want to be better for yourself, right? And really kind of having a vision of it and chipping away at it, right?
And I love how you, you know, kind of tie all this up into a bow that we get a chance to choose to break the generational cycles. And it doesn't matter where you're at in that journey, if you're brand new to motherhood or you haven't had kids yet, or you are sending your grown children off to be on their own, you get a chance to break those generational cycles.
Or if you don't even have kids or you're not going to have kids, right? I see like brilliant work with people who are changing the generational cycles just among the people they're with, right? So even if you don't have children, you know, by choice or not by choice or anything like that, right? I think it can still happen.
My gosh, I love that so much. You guys, if you have enjoyed this as much as I have, make sure that you leave a review and let Adrienne know about all of the amazing things that you got from our chat today. If you haven't already, take a screenshot, share us out in your stories, tag us so that we can share you out in our network as well. And we just are so, so glad that you guys are here listening and can be empowered by Adrienne. Adrienne, thank you so much for being here. One of the things that I ask every single guest before you leave is to give the audience a question to think about that's going to move them from where they are to where they want to be. What would you like them to think about?
Well, I have a couple, but I'll stack them. I'll stack questions, right? So I always ask, what is it that you truly want? And then with that, right, it's almost beginning at how do I want to feel? Because I think how you feel also gives you the response of like what you want, right? So kind of just ultimately thinking of that as a whole.
Yeah. So if you're struggling with like, I don't know what I want, well, how do you want to feel? And oftentimes that will give you the insight to start to uncover what it is that you really want just based on your feelings. Right. I love that so much. Yeah. If you guys, haven't already been exposed to Adrienne, make sure that you check out the show notes so that you can find all of the ways to follow her and connect with her and work with her. And I just am so glad that everybody's here today. Have an amazing rest of your day. And thanks Adrienne for showing up. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.